your hand. All right? Hey, I want to ask you another question. Do you know why God wants to bless you? I'll tell you why God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you and me because he wants me and you to be a blessing. That's why he blesses you, for you to be a blessing. How many want to be a blessing to somebody else? Let me see your hand. Oh, yeah. God blesses us, but in turn, he wants you and me to be a blessing to somebody else. I want to preach today on the subject of blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. You know, this message really was birthed on Wednesday morning. I went to bed on Tuesday night, and like you, I went out and voted for the next president. And Wednesday morning, I woke up and saw that elect President Donald Trump was to be the new president. How many saw that? Let me see your hand. All righty. Well, and out of the thought of he now is the new president, listen, beloved, while on the one hand, I believe that God is going to do some things, but likened unto the physical drought that we are now experiencing, how many know that we're going through a drought, a dry time physically? The rivers are drying up, the creeks are drying up, the lakes are getting lower because of the drought. I was reading just the other day, yesterday, and the deficit is 10 inches of rain, over 10 inches of water rain for this year, 2016. And yet, 5 of those inches have been since September, according to the report. It's now considered 17% of the state of Georgia is in what they call an exceptional drought, one of the worst droughts you can face. I noticed there was a trace of rain this morning, to which I thank God for. But truthfully, a little trace of rain, or even if it rains for 5 or 10 minutes, honestly, we thank God for it, but it's not really going to, in the long run, it's just going to wet the outer ground, and then the sun comes up, and it's going to dry out in a matter of time. I believe we're facing a drought in our nation in a similar sense. I mean, we have gotten so low. We have gone from God so far that a little relief is going to be a blessing indeed. But rather than just a little blessing, we need the torrential downpour of spiritual blessings from heaven. And nothing short of the mighty hand of God outstretched on this nation is going to bring what we want, real relief in our nation. We can't look to the politicians, but rather we've got to look to God, because our God can do anything but fail. And I want to tell you why we rejoice. On the one hand, we need to continue to pray and fast and cry out to God for his mercy drops and for the revival of the Holy Ghost of God on this dry and thirsty land. And when the people of God get serious and sober and get yielded to the Lordship of Christ, then God will rend the heaven and pour out his power. And I say, Lord, do it again. Amen and amen and amen. But you know, sometimes we're forgetful-minded of what God wants to do. Blessed to be a blessing. Our nation has been blessed, and sometimes we forget that. It reminds me of the man that went to a seminar, and he and his wife went to the seminar together, and it was a seminar that helped teach concerning memory loss. How many know that when you're getting older, you can't remember what you used to remember? Somebody said there's two signs to getting older. One is forgetful-minded, and I forgot the next one, all right? But anyway, these two individuals who had gone to a seminar concerning increasing their memory, one man said to his friend while he was with his wife, he said, his friend asked him, said, was it any good? He said, was it any good? He said, my, it was a breakthrough indeed. He said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, I just really learned so much, and it was so helpful to help me remember things. He said, really? He said, well, what was the name of the seminar? And the other man who had been to the seminar with his wife, he said, what's that red flower that has the petals on it? And you know, it's got the stickers and the thorns on it, that red petal. What's that thing? And his friend said, a rose? Is that what you're talking about? He said, yeah, a rose. And he looked at his wife and he said, Rose, what was the name of that seminar? I'll tell you, it didn't help very much. But I want to tell you today, we're looking at a subject today, And this subject is in regards to leadership. Again, on Wednesday, this was brought to my attention. The message was birthed in my heart as I've been reflecting all weekend long. And if you would, please make your way up to the screen. And you'll notice our message today has to do with kings. There were some good kings. There were some bad kings. And in the light of is going on in our Bible lesson today, turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 21. 2 Chronicles chapter 21. And as we look at 2 Chronicles 21, I believe, beloved, there are three non-negotiables that if we want to be blessed of God and if we want to have the blessings of God on our life, there are some non-negotiables that the Lord wants us to realize. And number one, the first non-negotiable, is found in 2 Kings chapter 21. 2 Kings chapter 21. Let me review a moment as I'm working on this PowerPoint. I had it last night working perfectly, but wouldn't you know, there it is. Wouldn't you know, today we're having a little difficulty with it. But anyway, 2 Kings chapter 21. And in 2 Kings 21, there are three non-negotiables if you're wanting to take notes this morning. And here they are. In order to be blessed, to be a blessing, number one, and if you don't mind, Katie, see if you can work on that. I've got this here and trying to work on it as well. We may have to do it manually, that's fine. But here is the first non-negotiable. If we want to be blessed of God and be a blessing, listen, we've got to be sure, don't forget, to give God the glory. Don't forget to give God the glory that He deserves. Can I say a word? If President-elect Donald Trump does not give God the glory, God's favor and God's blessings are not going to be on this nation. He needs to give God the glory. And the church said, that concerns me. That when God stretches forth His hand of power and God begins to move in power, that we give Him the glory. Tell me, have you given God the glory? We're studying the kings this morning, some of the kings. And if you'll notice in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 21, it was in the year, next slide please, in the year of the David, you'll notice as we see on the screen, they're good kings, they're bad kings. Next slide. They're ugly kings. They're kings of Israel. They're kings. Here's the genealogy of the kings of the ancient Israel. You can see Saul and David. And from David, you can see Solomon, Rehoboam. Rehoboam was the king of the southern kingdom. Rehoboam, by the way, had this idea to tax the people even more than Solomon did. Now, reduce that, please, if you would. On the other side, you got Jeroboam, the northern kingdom. Next slide, please. In the next slide, all this is brief preliminary as we get ready to read the text. The kings of Israel. Saul was a bad king. David was a good king. Solomon started off a good king, but unfortunately, because of the idolatry and immorality, turned out not to be such a good king. The kingdom of Judah, Rehoboam, as I mentioned a moment ago, was not a good king. And the kingdom was divided, if you will, in 931 B.C. And now we've got another king by the name of Jeroboam. Next slide, please. Now, on the next slide, we're going to see some other results as of this king. Now, I thought as I was developing this PowerPoint, this would be helpful to absolutely see a map of Israel. And therefore, you could understand when I say northern kingdom and southern kingdom. Here is the northern kingdom right here. Under the reign of Jeroboam. Here is the southern kingdom as painted in blue. Jerusalem concluded under Rehoboam and the different kings. We'll see more about that as we progress through our study. Next slide, please. And here is a revival of good kings and evil kings. And notice all of these are kings of Judah. That would be the southern kingdom I just showed you in the blue. And here was a revival through Asa and Jehoshaphat. But the king we're going to focus on today is Jehoram. Say that name with me. Jehoram. One more time. Jehoram. Jehoram married Ahab and Jezebel's daughter, Athaliah, and consequently, he was not a good king. We're going to focus on him today. But you'll notice another renewing through these leaders. Notice leaders. You're a leader whether you know it or not. You're a leader in your home. You're a leader in your family. Whether you're a dad or mom or grandparent, you're a leader in your job or on your in this culture in which we're living. In your school, you're a leader. You've got influence. And you may not be a king necessarily, but you'll notice the trend, how up and down the kings fell. And then God would raise up good kings like Hezekiah, Jehoshaphat, Josiah. Next slide, please. We'll go ahead and go through these slides. Here's a picture of King Jehoram. And King Jehoram had a letter sent by a man by the name of Elijah. Elijah is the prominent figure in 1 and 2 Kings. And to the northern kingdom was his message. Elisha was his protege. And we'll talk more about that perhaps in a little bit. Next picture, please. Here is the scale. You can't see it from where you're sitting. Next scale. Next picture, please. Here is the Jehoram right here. All right, next picture, please. And our time, I'd love to be able to study all of these. Next picture, please. This is an outline of biblical history and the 1 and 2 Chronicles. We're not going to go through all that, but I thought it was an interesting chart. Now, here's what I want you to see right here. Are you looking? If you aren't, look up here. Here's the divided kingdom. Israel, all of these are bad kings. Notice the sad face. Every one of them are bad kings. However, Judah, as I mentioned to you, the southern kingdom, not the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, they had some good kings. Asa, Jehoshaphat, you can see the happy faces. Joash, Amaziah, Azariah, Jotham, and Hezekiah, Josiah. But we're going to focus today on a king, like I mentioned a moment ago, Jehoram. Notice who his father is. His father is Jehoshaphat. His grandfather is Asa. He does not necessarily have to be a good king, even though he's got a tremendous legacy and heritage. I'm telling you, beloved, this is the message God sent me as I was preparing this. Just because you're a Christian, and I'm glad you are, if you are, doesn't necessarily mean that your children and grandchildren will be. Likelihood, very likely they will be, to use your influence, but it doesn't guarantee that. And in this case, with Jehoram, he was influenced by his wife, who was, again, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. All right, having said that, I'm looking now for 2 Chronicles chapter 21. If you got it, stand to your feet. We'll read the wonderful word of God. If you're there, say amen. All right, in 2 Chronicles, I thought this would give you a little bit of background information rather when you dive into it, you're trying to sort through these kings, and so we hope and trust that it will be a blessing to you. The message is this, blessed to be a blessing. Say it with me. Blessed to be a blessing. Say it one more time. You want to be a blessing? Give God the glory. You want to be a blessing? Seek God's face in His direction. You want to be a blessing? Don't forget to serve the Lord after your devotions. We're reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 21. Now, Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram, there's that king I mentioned, Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. And he had brethren, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah and Jehalel and Zechariah and Azariah and Michael and Shephatiah. And all of these were the sons of Joash, or Jehoshaphat, excuse me, king of Israel. Verse 3. And their father gave them, the father being Jehoshaphat, all these were there was his children, and their father gave them great gifts of silver and gold and of precious things with fenced cities in Judah. But the kingdom he gave to Jehoram. Jehoshaphat, that is, gave the kingdom to his son Jehoram, because he was the firstborn. Verse 4, now when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and slew all his brethren with the sword, and divers also of the princes of Israel. Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. Notice verse 6, mark it. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab, for he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. Her name was Athaliah. You can read about her in chapter 22. Anyway, he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. Look at verse 6, the last part. Underline it. And he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Skip down to verse 10. Look what God did. So the Edomites revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day, that is under Jehoram. And the same time also did Libnah revolt under his hand, because he had forsaken, notice, he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. Now skip over to verse number 14. Elijah leaves him a note, and here's what the note says. Verse 14. Behold, with a great plague, with will the Lord smite thy people and thy children and thy wives and all the people, and thou shalt have great sickness by disease of thy bowels, until thy bowels fall out by reason of the sickness day by day. Moreover, the Lord, notice verse 16, this caught my attention. Can God stir up foreign countries when we don't obey his will? You better believe he can. And this is what he did. Look at verse 16. Moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and of the Arabians that were near the Ethiopians. Now then, verse 18, skip down to verse 18. And after all this, the Lord smote him, Jehoram, in his bowels with an incurable disease. And it came to pass that in the process of time, at the end of 2 years, his bowels fell out by reason of his sickness. So he died of sore diseases, and his people made no burning for him like the burning of his fathers. This is the word of God. Blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. Father, I thank you now for the insight, for the hindsight, for the foresight, for the precepts and principles, and Lord, the providential working of your mighty hand in times past, in times present, and will be in times future. And I pray, Father, the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened today, that God, you'll quicken truth to our heart, that Lord, we'll not only hear the word, but do the word, and Lord Jesus, you will have the glory. We love you. We bless you today. I pray, Father, for mamas and daddies and Christians and those that are here that aren't Christians, that God, you'll use our influence. You'll help us to give you the glory. We'll not be ashamed of you, dear Lord, and that we'll boldly proclaim that we are, by the grace of God, we are who we are and what we are, all because of your grace. And we honor you today and ask you to move in power. And dear Lord, we pray for mercy and forgiveness of our nation. We trust you, Father, in the leadership you've, Lord, raised up for such a time as this, that, dear God, you'll turn their heart to heaven, and that you'll help them to be humble and broken and seek your face and seek your will, that we might have relief in the land. And we just look to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Our hope is in you. Our rock is in you. Our life is in you. And we pray now that you will break through today generational sins, strongholds of the enemy, and dear God, that you will have the glory, because it's all about you. And thank you now for victory in Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. As we look now at this subject, blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. Number one, don't forget to give God the glory he deserves. Be sure to give God glory he deserves. How many would today say, Pastor, I've been given God glory for what he deserves? Have you been given God glory? Look at me. Some of us forget to give God glory. Some of us don't mean to forget to give God glory, but if we're not careful, we can become self-made men and self-made women and forget that God has been good to us and the Lord is blessing us and he wants to get the glory. And if we don't give him the glory, he will not be honored. Don't forget to give God the glory. God's been doing some stuff in your life, hadn't he? He's been answering your prayer, hadn't he? He's been breaking through and doing doing some wonderful things, but you hadn't gone to him and said, God, I want to thank you, Lord, today. It don't matter what people say. It don't matter what people think. I just want to thank you because, God, you've sure been good to me. I want to bless you for my health. How many want to say, dear God, you've been good to me. You blessed me with health, and I want to thank you for it today. Listen, beloved, God's been good to us, and he deserves the glory. He deserves the glory. Will you give him glory today? Will you give him glory for saving you? Will you give him glory for healing your body? Will you give him glory because he knows our needs? Yes, he does. In fact, in the verse 4 of our text, 2 Chronicles chapter 21, look at it. Now when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, verse 4, he strengthened himself. He strengthened himself. He didn't give God glory. He strengthened himself. It wasn't about God. It was about him. I'm afraid to say, listen to me, beloved. I love you, but I'm afraid to say our culture, our world teaches us to be self-sufficient and self-dependent and self-seeking and self-centered. It's all about you, what you think, and it's all about what you want, and it's all about what I want. Listen, if you listen to the world's philosophy and listen to the world's music, whether it's country music, rock and roll music, whatever, rap music, it doesn't matter. If it's not music that doesn't bring God glory, it's probably not going to give him glory, but it's about self and self-seeking and self-centeredness. What we put in our mind comes out in our life. God wants to get glory. Hey, have you given him glory? Yes. Don't be a self-made man today. Don't be haughty and self-righteous today. Don't be arrogant today. Recognize that the goodness of God, the good hand of God has been on you, and the good hand of God has been on me, and the blessings from heaven have poured out upon you and me. We can't take the credit. We just got to say, Lord, I want to give you the glory. And the church said, Lord, we want to give you the glory. Now, there are two reasons that the Lord put in my heart that I think we ought to give him glory. Notice verse 3 again. And Jehoshaphat feared and said himself, I'm sorry, I'm in chapter 20. Let me go back to chapter 21. Verse 6, notice verse 6. I brought your attention to verse 4. We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 21. We just read the text. Now we're back on verse 6. He walked away, Jehoram, walked away in the way. He walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab. For he had the daughter of Ahab to wife, and he wrought that which was what? Evil in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, give him the glory. Give God the glory. Why? Two reasons. Number one, because of what is done. Because of what is done. I don't know about you, but I read just the other day in the paper, October the 16th, 2016, there was an earthquake over in China, and a young 26-year-old young man, as the building was collapsing, his daughter, I believe she was like 3 or 4 years old, he began to hover over her. And as the building and the debris came tumbling down upon that 26-year-old daddy, it began to bruise him. It began to pound him. And when all was said and done, when the rescuers went into that building, they began to remove the rubble and the debris. And they saw that daddy, 26 years old. They noticed his crushed and broken body. He was lifeless. He had no life in him. But when they rolled him over, they noticed that little girl, 3 years old, she was spared and rescued because of the sacrifice of that daddy. The daddy gave his life for his daughter. He bore the penalty. Yea, he took the punishment that she would have incurred, but he was willingly to shield her and protect her and give his very life for her. Give him the glory. Why? Because of what is done. I want to tell you, there was a time in my life when the wrath of God and the judgment of God and the condemnation of God was released from heaven. And had Jesus not have protected me, and had Jesus not have shielded me, and had the Lord not have put himself in the harm's way and willing to take my sin and your sin and willing to be bruised because it pleased the Lord to bruise him, Jesus Christ was willing, sacrificially, voluntarily, to be the Lamb of God. He knew no sin, and yet he became sin that I might get set free, and that you might not have to have experience the Almighty God judging sin and his wrath. Jesus Christ, listen, he died on my behalf. He tasted death for every man. He experienced my hell that I wouldn't have to go to hell. You ask me why I should give him glory. You ask me how, why you should give him glory. If you're a child of God, if you've been redeemed by the blood, I want to tell you, we owe our life to Jesus. We ought to give him glory because of what he's done. You know, not only because of what he's done, but because of who he is. Because of who he is. Oh, listen. Do you give him glory today? Do you say, Lord, I want to be a blessing. I want your blessings, but I won't recognize that it's of you. It's your goodness. It's your blessings. It's your favor. And it's because of who you are. It's not all about what he gives us, but it's all about who he is. By the way, he was my Savior yesterday. He's my Lord today. And he'll be my King tomorrow. Do you know him? Have you got a relationship with him? Head knowledge and heart knowledge is two different things. 18 inches from your head to your heart. There's an outward profession, but an inward possession. He deserves glory. Can I give a testimony? Is it ready for give a testimony? Just this week, and some of you ought to give him glory today. God's been doing some things in your life this week, and you ought to give him glory. Just this week, I went out to the mailbox. And just this week, I noticed in the mailbox was a letter, an unexpected letter, wasn't accounted for. And I opened the letter, had no idea it was coming, but I opened the letter from the mailbox, and I opened it up, and had no idea, but God knew that, praise his holy name. I want to give a testimony today. Inside was a check that I had no idea was coming from. I had no idea. But God sent a check. Opened it up for $200. And listen, I'm like you. I live paycheck to paycheck. And when God does something like that, I want to give him glory. I'm telling you, my God said he'd meet not our wants but our needs. And I want to say, Lord, thank you. I want to give you glory today before the house of God and the church of the living God that you have met our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And the church said, oh, yes, yes, Lord, yes, yes, yes. I don't care, Lord, if anybody else doesn't want to clap. I don't care, Lord, if anybody else don't want to give you glory. I want to because I don't want to grieve your spirit. You can sit here today and grieve the Spirit of God. And that's what many do. Sunday after Sunday, you grieve God's Spirit. You sit there like a knot on the log, not giving God glory. And God's been good to you. And God said, if you don't praise me, them rocks out there will. Amen. You might as well not grieve the Spirit of God, but say, God, I want to enter in the house of God with praise and thanksgiving. You say, I'm not emotional. I don't believe it. You are. I've seen you down at the ball field. Matter of fact, we were sitting in the ball field the other day. We went down to senior night to the Monticello ball field. And boy, I'm not going to say who it was, but I saw a crowd over there. We were with some of our folks. I'm not talking about our folks, but I saw some folks from another church. And man, they were hooping and hollering about things going on in the game. I bet they probably sit like a stone face. Now, I know you say, Pastor, you judging. No, I'm just telling you, what's on the inside has got to come out. It's high time that we got to stop thinking we worship God intellectually. I'm telling you, we get excited. Our emotions are involved. Why can't we emotionally express our appreciation and love to God? There's something wrong when we can't. That's not religious. That's dead religion. That's not relationship. Now, I know some are more emotional than others, but anyway, give him the glory. Give him the glory because of who he is. Oh, yes, give him the glory. Hey, speaking of giving him the glory, number one, you want the blessings of God? You want to be a blessing? What would you say to a 12-year-old teenager who found his mama in the bed dead yesterday? I went to visit a 12-year-old teenager yesterday, late yesterday afternoon. He found his mama in the bed, single parent, right behind where we live, over off of Cantaline Road, North Alcove, Chris Evans' cousin. I went to the house yesterday afternoon. What would you say to a 12-year-old teenage boy whose mama he found in the bed dead yesterday? And then the 23-year-old young man, what would you say to them? How would you say to somebody like that? Oh, listen, beloved, life is but a vapor. What would you say? How would you reach out? Listen, God's made me blessed, and He's blessed you as well. God's blessed me. Why? Because He wants us to be a blessing to somebody else. And we need to pray for that dear family indeed. Oh, yes. Don't forget to give God glory. Number two, not only do we need to remember. Are you going to do it today in a moment when we have the invitation? Are you going to sit there and look around and see what everybody else is doing? Are you going to say, God, I bless you for how you've blessed me. Maybe everything's not going like I want, but God, you've been good to me. And I just want to thank you, Lord. I want to bless you, Lord. Number two, not only do we need to, don't forget to give God glory. Number two, don't forget to seek His face for His direction. Don't forget to seek His face for His direction. Tell me, are you seeking God's face for direction? Will Donald Trump seek God's face for direction? Has he made his millions and billions? And is he going to depend on the arm of flesh? Is he going to pray and seek God? You say, Pastor, I know the vice president's a Christian. Mike Pence, so I've been told, he's a dedicated evangelical Christian. You say, but he's got people around him that are Christians as well. That's good, and I bless God for that. But Donald Trump needs to seek God. And by the way, I know some of you are going to get upset when I say this, and by the way, I prayed for the election too, but we can't just slack up now and say, oh, well, praise God, now that everything's going to, no. We need to pray that God will help you and me to give God glory, and you and I's daddies and mamas and Christians, as well as from the White House to the church house. Every Sunday school teacher ought to give God glory. Every deacon ought to give God glory. Every preacher ought to give God glory. Every Christian ought to give God glory. Is your life that known of giving God glory? Are we complaining more than we're praising God? Oh, we need a revival, Lord. Am I thinking about the bad things instead of the good things? Somebody told me just the other day. He said, Pastor, if you look back at my life, you'd see I made a mess of my life. How many know what I'm talking about? I made a mess a lot of my life. Guess what? Today's a new day. Today is a different day. Don't worry about, don't keep focusing on the past. Rather, focus on the present and the future. That's what your focus needs to be on. Let God bring healing in the past, help in the present, hope for the future. Secondly, seek God's face. Don't forget. Oh, yes, be careful to seek God's face for what? His direction. I want to ask you a question. How many are seeking God's face today for His direction about something in your life? Let me see your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Not everybody raised their hand, but most of you did. Probably you need to seek God's direction even for stuff you don't even know is going on, for wisdom, for His confirmation. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in His way. That's Psalm 37 and verse 25. And Romans 8, 14, Paul wrote and said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are you seeking God's direction? Or are you just saying, well, I think I'll just sit down at a computer and I'll do all my research and I just think I'll figure out what I need to do. Hey, don't leave God out of the question. I think I'll just get my checkbook out and figure all the stuff. Nothing wrong with that. You need to do that. But ultimately, give God glory. Seek His direction. Look what this Jehoram didn't do. The scripture says here, verse 10, look at verse 10. So the Edomites revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. The same time also did Libnah revolt from under his hand. Look at the last part of verse 10. Can you see it? Because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. He had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. Now listen to me, beloved. How many got children? Raise your hand. How many got grandchildren? Raise your hand. Do you know what? It's important that you and I seek God. We're not assured that our children or grandchildren will follow exactly in our steps. But I do believe this. You can take Jehoram. I mentioned to you earlier in the first part of the message. His daddy was who? Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was a good king. His granddaddy was who? Ahab. I'm sorry. His granddaddy was Asa. But he married into a family, Athaliah, who was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. How many believe, let me stop right there and bring some application. How many believe that who you marry or who you hang around is very important as to the influences in your life? You better be careful who you hang around. You better be careful who you talk with. You better be careful who you marry. Why? Because they can influence you for bad rather than for good. Here is a prime example right here. Jehoram, and he was birthed in a family. Jehoshaphat was a good king. God blessed him. God gave him favor over his enemies. But now all of a sudden Jehoram is not following God. He's not seeking godly counsel. He's not giving God the glory. And you know what God does? God stirs up an enemy. God stirs up an enemy. The Philistines. Don't think that sometimes God can't stir up ISIS. Don't think that God can't stir up a foreign country to get our attention if we don't give Him glory. We need to give God glory. Don't think that God can't send a storm in your life to get your attention so that you will give Him glory. Oh yes, not all storms are to get our attention, but some are just for the test of faith, but some are to purify the saints. And so, hey, here's my question. Do you want to hand down a lasting legacy? Don't you want these generational blessings? How many want the generational blessings to go from you to your children? Let me see your hand. Oh yes, you do want the generational blessings. There's generational curses, but there's also generational blessings. And see, here is the point. If we give God, be blessed to be a blessing. When God shows you things, you're to hand that down to your children and grandchildren. I'm to hand that down to our children and grandchildren. I know you can't live your life for them. Listen to me. I understand they've got to make their own choices, but at least you can, by the grace of God, break some of the generational curses that have been handed down from generation to generation. The third and fourth generation, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 2, in the book of Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. Well, number one, give Him glory that He deserves. Number two, seek His face for His direction. How many got a decision right now that you really need to get a word from God? Hey, watch this now. Don't miss this. You know what's so very vital in our culture? See, if you're not agreeing with me, you know what our problem is? I'll tell you what our problem is. I'll tell you what my problem is. Impatience. I'm impatient. I want an answer now. And if I don't have an answer, I mean, after all, the computer turned that thing on, click a button, go here, go there. Instant information. And that's the way we want God to operate. I want information now, God. I want answer now. I want Your will now. And you know what happens if we don't get God's answer right away? We get antsy. We get antsy. You know what I'm talking about? And we start saying, well, I hadn't heard from God, and I'm going to be like old Saul. I think I'll just do this and do this. Sometimes you just got to wait upon the Lord. Sometimes, like in Daniel's case, he waited 21 days. Sometimes in Jeremiah's case, he waited 10 days. Are you patiently going to wait upon the Lord? Are you going to seek His face? Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13, Jeremiah said, "You'll seek My face, you'll find Me when you search for Me with all of your heart. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. He'll have mercy unto our God. He will abundantly pardon." That's Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, all these things. That's bread and food and raiment, as in the context of Matthew chapter 6. All these things should be added unto you. Are you seeking God? Are you seeking Him to know Him? Not, watch this, don't miss this now. Here's where we fit. We seek God's hand of blessing, but often we don't seek His face. Why aren't we seeking the face of God? Why aren't we saying, "Dear God, I want to walk with You daily. I don't want just Your blessings, Lord. I thank You for Your blessings, but I want a relationship with You. I want to know You and to know the power of Your resurrection." Tell me, are you just after God's blessings, or do you really want a relationship with God? If you really want a relationship with God, it's going to require for you and me to get on our faces before God every once in a while, preferably daily. Have you been on your face today before God? Have you been humble and broken before God lately? Have you said, oh God, all these things I've got, I've just worked hard for them. And I did great planning and Social Security and retirement and all that. No, the good hand of God has blessed you. And we need to say, Lord, thank you for your blessings. Handing down a lasting legacy. Number one, seeking God's, giving him glory. Number two, seeking his face for his blessing. Number three, and I'll be done, and it's this, serving the Lord. God blesses us to make us a blessing. He blesses us to make us a, blessed to be a blessing. Let's say that again. Blessed to be a blessing. One more time. Are you going to be a blessing? God's blessed you. Many of you have been a blessing to me, and I want to be a blessing to you. Don't store up the blessings. Don't run from the blessings. Run toward the blessings. Run with the blessings. Give out the blessing. Be a blessing to somebody. Why? Because, and I'll share with you this, three non-negotiables. One, give him the glory. Two, seek his face for his direction. Three, and most importantly, serve him daily. After your devotions. Serve him daily after your devotions. You know what you say, Pastor, what do you mean after your devotions? Hey, I just want to ask y'all a quick question. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm your pastor. You know I love you. But one of my responsibilities is not only to feed and lead the flock of God, and I'm not everything I ought to be at times. I have to ask God to forgive me. I don't always have the right attitude. I don't always give the God glory, and God reminds me I need to give him glory. I'm right here too. This message is first tested in my heart. But can I ask you this? Don't raise your hand. How many of you have a daily devotion every day? I want to encourage you, if you don't have a daily devotion, it's not a legalistic thing. No, no, I'm not talking about saying, okay, God, I'm going to do check off this checklist. No, if I never talk with my wife, I don't get to know her very well. I've got to have a relationship. If I don't ever spend any time with her, I'm not going to get to know her. And to know God, we got to spend some time with him. We got to spend some time in his word. I want to ask you today, will you put aside some time every day? Every day, put some time aside and say, God, my relationship with you is more important than anything else. You know why? Because out of my relationship with God comes everything else. We are servant leaders. We are men and women of God because of our relationship with him. All right, number three and finally, will you serve the Lord daily after your devotions? Now look what happened to Jehoram. Elijah wrote a letter. Now, I don't get into all the details. Some believe it was before he was translated into glory. Why? Because some say he died during the days of Jehoshaphat. There's speculation. Point is, he wrote a letter. You can read that from verse number 12 on down. Here was what the letter said. One day Jehoram woke up. He went to his front porch. I'm paraphrasing. He saw a letter. Do you give God glory? Why aren't you giving God glory? I said, why aren't you giving God glory? I said, why aren't you seeking his face? You're distracted, aren't you? You got somebody else in your life that's more important than God. And that's an idol, and you need to get rid of your idols. I love you. But God said, little children, keep yourself from idols. Anything that becomes between me and my God is an idol. Get rid of it. I don't care if it's sports. I don't care if it's money. I don't care if it's a person. Jesus demands to be number one in our life. So, anyway, back to the story. Jehoram wakes up. He sees a letter out on the porch, and it says this. You're going to die. You've forsaken the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you're going to have an incurable disease. God stirred up his enemies. Well, I want to stop right there and ask you this. Blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. As you stand to your feet today, I want to ask you this personal question.